some kind. As we know that the department took the responsibility to manage the grant last year. So we felt it important to call the department here for the first time to share with us your experiences and how we have been doing in regard to the set targets and whatever achievement you might have set in your plans. So that's why we're here today. We have an apology from the DG of the department, Mr. Gordon, who could not be here due to other commitments, but indicates that Mr. Trito, I hope I pronounce it right. Otretu. Okay. Mr. Trien Otretu, the Chief Financial Officer, will be leading the delegation. And Honorable Mashida from the member side will be joining us shortly. He was running late due to high traffic this morning, and the apology again from our member Trabran Zulu and from honorable member Bloom Makubela, I'm sorry, is on an oversight visit with the COCTA committee in Bumalanga and KZN. Those are the apologies of members, and without any waste of time, I will then go straight to item number four, item number five, submissions by the Department of Higher Education and Training.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Committee. Chairperson, on our side, from the side of the department, just, you know, the DG apologised because we had four presentations in different committees this morning, so we had to skip it around and share responsibilities this morning. That's why I'm here to present. I've got with me, from the Further Education and Training branch, the colleagues, from the far left, Ms. Sebas Faratle, and then we have Dr. Manflobo, who's an old face in Parliament already, doing many presentations on FET. And then on my right-hand side, it's Zirke Baird and Keith Loins. So those are the colleagues who's here to answer all the difficult questions on the FET sector. And then on my left-hand side, Ms. Marka Tokana. She was leading the team that did the annual evaluation and presented the final report to the DG and to the Minister. Chief, we can go through the presentation. I trust everybody has copies of that. We focus in the presentation, and as we indicate there, we give some background of the grant and the outputs thereof. We look at the purpose of the evaluation that we performed for 2012-13 and the methodology followed. We look a bit at budget allocation trends, expenditure trends, some over and under expenditure areas, and then more on performance reporting, monitoring and capacity. Summary of some of the key findings and the recommendations from the evaluation. We will briefly look at the transfer of the function to the department, and then we will also have a slide on the 2013 MTF allocations that we currently have. Now, first of all, if you look at the background of the grant was introduced as far back as 2010-2011 financial year, and the purpose of the grant was to prepare basically for the function shift of the public FET colleges function to to the department. At the time when the department was established and became in operation on 1 April 2010, a decision was taken jointly with the National Treasury and Parliament at that point in time that although the function shift must take place, there's quite a lot of things to happen before we can officially shift the money from the provincial share of revenue to national, and therefore the conditional grant was instituted. The grant consisted mainly at that point in time of the Program 5, as we refer to it, the Program 5 allocations in the provincial education departments that represent the funding of FET colleges. So that is how the grant was established. The grant was geared towards assisting all 50 FET colleges for the following specific outputs, and that is also captured in the grant framework that's published annually with the Division of Revenue Act, which is then also approved by Treasury and Parliament. First of all, it's the enrollment of NCV programs as set out in College Enrollment Targets, enrollment in Approved Report 191 programs, and then the expanding of information and communication technology for teaching and learning. There are specific connectivity norms in that respect. To continue the implementation of a management information system for the delivery of transversal services. Also the implementation of the FET funding norms, and then also the upgrading, alterations, refurbishment and modernization of classrooms, workshops and laboratories, which is a high priority. There's also some funding provided for maintenance and repairs of equipment to support all the various programs in the sector, and then also for infrastructure development. The evaluation for 2012-13 specifically was, first of all, obviously to comply with the requirements of the Division of Revenue Act in order to evaluate the performance of the grant and to look at possible corrective measures that may be required to improve our performance. The evaluation was performed and it was submitted on 31 July 2013 as required by the Act. Data collection methods and sources, we first did a desktop performance evaluation where various documentation was reviewed, such as quarterly reports, enrollment reports and operational plans for all 50 the FET colleges. It is however impossible for the department to visit all 50 colleges and to perform actual evaluations at all 50 college sites. Therefore, one college per province was selected, and those sites were then assessed, and some of the achievements of the grant were then verified at those specific FET colleges. During that process, there were also interviews with the various FET college principals, the campus managers, some of the lecturers, student organizations, as well as the provincial officials responsible for the FET function. If we can look at the budget allocation trends over the period, since 2010-11, when the grant started, we can see that in total we had 3.8 billion at that point in time. There was a substantial growth in the grant to almost 4.4 billion. In 2011-12, and in 2012-13, the total allocation was 4.8 billion. Shows a percentage growth over the 3 years of 27%. You will see also when you look at the NTF allocation that there is still a substantial growth to 2013-14, and thereafter it flattens over the rest of the period. Now, the growth in the grant specifically provided for increased enrollments and to support the sector specifically for that purpose. If you look at the expenditure, expenditure was very good from 2010-11. You will see that almost all the funds were spent, 3.6 billion in the first year, 4.6 billion in 2011-12, and going up to 4.8 billion in the third year there. We look at some of the over and under expenditure. You would see that in most cases the grants were close to fully spent. In the case of Eastern Cape, there was a 12.8 million rand under expenditure. In the Free State, 15.5 million. KZN had an over expenditure of 11.6 million. And the other high one, Northwest, where there was an under expenditure of 2.9 million. The next slide provides more detail specifically on some of the reasons. Look at the Eastern Cape first of all. The under expenditure for the unspent portion of the parcel allocation. Now in this case, what happens is that part of the conditional grant goes to provinces to pay salaries and a lot of compensation of employees at provincial level and FET college level. And they were just a saving or under expenditure on that specific budget allocation. That revenue obviously goes back to the provincial revenue fund, and it was utilized for goods and services. In Free State, similar situation where there was a slight overprovision on compensation of employees. In KwaZulu-Natal, it was just the opposite. They had an underprovision on compensation of employees, mainly because of the implementation of the OSD and otherwise agreement, and that was corrected through normal allocations. In the Northwest province, the small 2.5 million under expenditure there was mainly on goods and services, and that money went back to the revenue fund. It was not utilized for other purposes. If you look at performance reporting, monitoring and capacity, in terms of reporting, we do receive monthly reports from all the provinces that are required in terms of the Act, and there is, at this point in time, still full compliance in that respect. All 50 FET colleges submit their quarterly report as required, and one area where we need a slight improvement is on the financial reporting from the side of FET colleges, where only 96% actually submit their monthly financial report at this point in time, and attention is given to that specifically. In terms of performance monitoring, first of all, enrollment monitoring is taking place. That's normally every year in January, where officials from the departments, FET branch, as well as provincial education department officials perform those monitoring exercises. In terms of data verification, there's a data verification that's conducted in February each year, and then there's also regular desktop monitoring on a monthly and quarterly basis by the department to look into some of the performance areas. In terms of capacity on the side of the department specifically, three deputy directors are currently linked to the conditional grant. They are mainly supported by provincial officials, and they deal with financial reporting, planning reporting, as well as management information systems. The current organizational structure of the department is still the same as when the department was established in 2010. However, the department is busy with a full organizational restructuring process, which is currently with the Department of Public Service and Administration. And in the revised structure, there are provisions for more officials to specifically deal with monitoring and evaluation, especially when we take into account the function shift that must be finalized. So if you look at the summary of some of the key findings and the recommendations in the evaluation report itself for 2012-2013, in terms of budget allocations, first of all, allocations we say are commensurate with learner enrollments. The transfers of the grants were made according to the approved payment schedule, and we had no requirement to deviate from that or to withhold any transfers. Conditional grant budgets were utilized according to the funding norms, and the total amount spent, if you look at the percentage of the total adjusted budget allocation, were 99.6%. Northwest, that was the only province where we had some delay in terms of the provincial transfers to FET colleges, specifically to Taletsu and Mupani FET College. That one is in Limpopo, sorry. Those delays were corrected and the subsidies to those colleges were paid. So everything there is now in order. If you look at some of the funding norms and planning in terms of output 2 and 3, certainly there was a commendable achievement as colleges ensured that they included output 2 and 3 of the Minister's Delivery Agreement in the strategic plans and the operational plans and normal day-to-day planning. The provincial education departments and the colleges confirmed contribution of additional funding as well as other forms of support to colleges to deal with growth projections. All FET colleges exceeded their projected student enrollments, and this increased enrollments were funded mainly through a special allocation that colleges received from the National Skills Fund. The conditional grant allocation at this point in time were not able to accommodate all the learner numbers or the student numbers in FET colleges, and a special allocation was provided by the NSF for that purpose. Colleges also reported that there's increased collaboration with the various CETAs. There's certainly more high-value benefits towards training and skills development, and one of the important things that flow from this collaboration with CETAS are linked to experiential learning, work-based exposure and placement of FET colleges students by CETAS. In the third place, in terms of NCV and report one-on-one enrollments, as I indicated, there's been some higher student enrollments than was originally planned for. One of the problems that, except from normal funding, is infrastructure capacity. However, colleges managed to accommodate these increased enrollments within the current capacity that they have. Colleges reported that extra efforts not to turn away students, and they reported a notable shift in enrollments with more students for report one-on-one and NCV. The department continues to advocate for NCV programs as part of profiling FET colleges as possible options for further education. And in this respect, the Minister specifically does a lot to market FET colleges and for students to go there rather than only to universities and universities of technology. In terms of the delays in the issuing of certificates, that was also part of the evaluation process to look at the certification. There were certain concerns on delays in the issuing of certificates, specifically for NCV programs. That challenge was fortunately resolved. It was during July 2013, and there were a total number of 131,000 NCV certificates for level 2 to 4 that was issued to candidates. The results for the 2012 November examinations were fortunately released during April, which was the scheduled time for that, and there were some late registrations that were released during June. One aspect that the department will have to specifically look into is to ensure that they sustain the solution to the challenge in order to issue results on time to enable students to proceed to the next level and for those who exit the system in order for them to obtain employment. In terms of capital expenditure and ICT infrastructure, there are varying levels of achievement and implementation at FET colleges, specifically at this level. We've seen that over the past few years, and not only in the 2012-13 financial year, although there's notable achievement in relation to the investment made through the grant to refurbish and upgrade infrastructure. But to develop new infrastructure still needs some attention. The majority of colleges reported that they had to supplement the condition of grant budgets with own funds, specifically for the installment and improvement of ICT infrastructure, and some certainly were not able to increase on that. Some of the FET colleges reported satisfaction with the management information systems that they had, and they indicated that it's functional. It enabled the generation of requested reports, such as for the student data, academic reports, salaries, financial reports, and some survey reports. This is an aspect that the department is certainly also giving attention to on both the infrastructure development as well as ICT. In terms of infrastructure, there is actually a substantial problem in the FET sector in the sense that there is not a dedicated subsidy or grant like we have with universities and universities of technology. That is a part inheritance that we are looking at, and the Minister is also currently communicating with the Minister of Finance in an attempt to get a dedicated grant for infrastructure for FET colleges. Chairperson, then, in terms of the transfer of the function, there is a very detailed process currently ongoing with National Treasury in this respect. There's a lot of matters to take into account. But in terms of the FET colleges, certainly there's a significant awareness of the transfer, the liaison with the various provincial education departments as well as the FET colleges are good, and there's regular workshops taking place. So we believe that everybody is up to date on the current situation. Extensive engagements took place, and the department established also what is referred to as a provincial transitional task team per province to manage and oversee the process for the transfer of the function to the department. In terms of the 2013 MTEF allocations, as we indicated previously, since 2010-11, we had about a 27% increase on allocations to assist with increased enrollments. For 2013-14, we have 5.5 billion, which is a 12.6 increase from 2012-13. And then year on year, it increased with 6.2% in 2014-15 to 5.8 billion. And 6.1 billion in 2015-16, which is a 5.6% increase. Just to note that the allocation year, as indicated, is split into two portions, different from the past three financial years. It is now the FET conditional grant on the one side, and then on the other side, the FET subsidy portion. Now, if you can look at the next slide, it explains the situation. As part of the function shift, Treasury agreed with the department that as from 1 April 2013, that the department start to take over the direct transfer of subsidies to FET colleges that was previously part of the conditional grant. So the grant was split into two portions. First of all, the normal FET colleges grant, as indicated there, that will provide for the salaries, the lecturers and support staff, paid through personal by the provincial education department, as well as normal provincial goods and services. Those funds for the grant are transferred by the department to the provincial education departments on a monthly basis, and that is in line with the payment schedule in the Division of Revenue Act. Then the second portion that was previously with the conditional grant, but which is now a direct allocation in the department for the FT College subsidies. Those are the subsidies that directly go to the FET colleges, which is the salaries of, as we say, non-personal lecturers and support staff, those compensation of employee expenditure that's taking place directly at college level, other operational costs of the FET colleges, which is part of the normal funding norms, so the full operations of the FET colleges for which they are subsidized. Those funds go directly to the FET colleges from the side of the department on a quarterly basis, and for that purpose there's also a payment schedule that regulates that. So to conclude, the department is of the view that the objectives of the FET colleges CEDAW 4 grant were satisfactorily achieved. Everything was efficient and effective. There are quite a number of additional areas, but we try to keep the presentation as short as possible, and we will provide you with hard copies of the actual evaluation report, which is quite thick, so that you can, if there's time, look into more detail into some of those areas. The department commends the performance of the program outputs achieved by FET colleges, and we trust that the investment that we are making through the conditional grant will improve over years. Chair, with that, I thank you, and please feel free to raise questions and matters with the department, and we trust that we will be able to address all the issues that you would like us to. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Honourable members, that's the report. There is a supplementary report, I think, and some members do have. I have this copy, Honourable. Do you have? Thank you. I'm not sure, Mr. Bridge. If the supplementary report covers all the 50 colleges?
Jefferson, only the 9 that we did physical visits.
Okay.
But there are parts in it that covers the full spectrum, but then focus slightly just on the specific 9 colleges where there were physical monitoring visits.
Okay. Also. Thank you for that clarity. So, that's a story on our members. We can now engage Mr. Pillay. You're welcome. You are at liberty to engage with the report. Mr. Joseph, Honorable Joseph, and further Honorable Lee.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I wanted just to follow up on your point that you have raised now about the 50 colleges, or rather the balance of the colleges that out of the 9 provinces. I wanted to know if there was perhaps an online evaluation for the other colleges and if that information could be made available. I understand it's not possible to physically visit all that province. And then I would like to know, on your first slide, page 6, where you refer to the budget allocation, I would like to know the latest census results. Have that been taken into account for future trends? The urbanization to various provinces, and maybe if there is, what is the indication for the need for more colleges in terms of the population growth, but particularly in terms of the census results, 211 per province. What is that stats telling the education department dealing with the FET colleges? I would also like to know on page 8 that 11.5 million rand overspending by KZN, where did the money come from? Was Treasury just topping it up, or was it taken from another budget within the in that province. I just want clarity on that as well. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Shudeh, for the report. A great deal of money is spent on equipment and stuff in terms of this grant, and you've monitored 9 of the colleges. Now, there was a time when I sat on the finance committee of the FET College in Ladysmith, and they exercised quite a lot of discretion and autonomy at that stage. I'm not sure what the situation is now. That's going back 5 years. But how do we know how that money is spent on the other 41 colleges? I mean, and even on the 9 colleges, did we actually monitor how the money was spent? I mean, did they buy rubbish computers or good computers? Is there any kind of standard that's enforced? Which kind of leads me to the next question, because it seems to me that you haven't yet taken over these colleges. In your slide, you refer to, let me just read it so that I don't get it wrong, in slide 15, there is significant awareness across all FET colleges about the transfer of the FET function to the department, which seems to indicate to me that that transfer hasn't happened yet. It's kind of floating, and the funds are starting to move, which leads me to another question. And if the transfer is in progress, why are the funds being channeled through the provincial PERSL? I mean, if it's now a national competence, why are we using provinces at all? Is this just an interim measure, or is that going to be the way it's done into the future? The results, I mean, you seem to be quite proud of issuing results in April. Well, if I was a student writing exams in November and got results in April, I'd be horrified. I mean, I'd actually like to start work in January. And so is this the norm? I mean, the results only come out 5 months after the exams. I mean, the CETAs, you mentioned the CETAs. There's a large view out there that CETAs simply suck up money and achieve nothing or very little. In your monitoring, are there any stats about the employment take-up of students graduating from FET colleges? In my own experience in business, I would think 100 times before employing someone from an FET college, I'm afraid. The standards and the short courses actually raise expectations of the students way beyond what they're really able to perform. So is there any monitoring of the employment take-up besides CETAs, which I don't have a great deal of faith in? Mr. Chairman, I think that's it. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for the opportunity. I've just received this document, so I've just paged through it. But I can't find a diagram where you can measure a performance. I just went through it quickly. A table. This is in our APP. This is our target, but this is what we accomplished. I would like something like that to measure, because I can't measure. Also looking at the presentation, the only thing we can measure is the money. But we don't know precisely what was spent on what in terms of figures. The other one is a proposal, Chairperson, that we as employees in our constituencies and regions go and visit CFET colleges. I will make an appointment for tomorrow, Friday, in O'Keeffe, in Namakwa, because I'm passing O'Keeffe to my house in Port Norman. And the other one will be in Kimberley and in DR. Sometime I'll get to Kuruman and Uppington. because we have to see what's happening at grassroots level. Are these institutions performing as they say they are doing? What is the challenges they're experiencing in the classroom, etc.? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Chief, and apology for arriving late. It's an internal arrangement in Parliament that keeps us a little bit far much busy. I expect normal from this. Chairperson, I think just a day back, I have heard over the radio in the Eastern Cape, and somebody is being worried about a child who is studying mechanics, but there is no equipment at the FET College. And the mother is complaining that they are learning, but they've got nothing to do practicals. I'm just raising that I've heard over the radio. And now, of course, that I can really confirm that there is Ensanzeni FET in Akonuk. You know, it's where they are doing mechanic and the rest. All those vehicles, they are scrapped, they are lying outside, and then the tractors, the grass is growing around them outside. They're no longer available in the workshop for training. Now, the question, of course, is in the slide here, we are saying that all FET colleges exceeded targets for student enrollment. And now, the question of exceeding targets for enrollment, but without quality output, whether that assists us, I don't know. And one would have thought that the more students we take, which is something that would like, but also must be accompanied by the tools that are required, the infrastructure that is required for them to be able to actually have the skills. And now the question, of course, is, having exceeded the targets for student enrollment, what about the output? Do you have anything to really talk to in terms of the output? Are we also exceeding the normal output that we used to achieve the years that we're having what may have been called the normal enrollment? Now that we have exceeded that, is there a corresponding increase in the output of kids with the skills? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I think just to add on the questions, firstly, I would like to know if the department have capacity at provincial level to do the monitoring. Two, how far are you with the rolling out of IT connectivity in all these provinces? Are they all now connected and have all the necessary equipment? Three, with these high volumes of enrollment, it follows that there will be financial pressure that they put on each and every college. And in your report, I pick up that some colleges are struggling financially. Now, how are you going to manage that going forward? And coupled with that, there seems to be high volume of student debts and write-offs of such debts, and which boils down to the ability of some of these colleges to collect revenue from the students, and that might have a negative bearing moving forward. So the question there is, what is the department doing jointly with these colleges to address that particular challenge?
Thank you, Chairperson. I will respond to some of the areas, and I would especially like the staff from the FET colleges sector to respond on specific some of the FET related matters. Maybe just to once again explain the evaluation process, there were areas raised in that specifically. Now, in terms of all 50 FET colleges, as part of the evaluation process, there was a desktop review, specifically on the performance reports collected and evaluated by the FET college branch. So, as part of the evaluation, yes, all 50 FET colleges were looked at. However, in terms of physical visits, physical assessments of certain areas, it was only one college per province that we could accommodate. But yes, all 50 FET colleges was part of the evaluation. So we can say that there was a full evaluation of the whole sector. However, obviously, it is not possible to cover each and every area for every FET college specifically. But we tried our best to do as much as possible there. In terms of the issue around the census and whether the funding and the allocation of FET colleges are being looked at in that specific respect, let me say first of all that currently the MTF allocations of government did not yet factor in the specific changes of the population in various areas. So what we have currently, especially in the MTF allocations that we have, those changes were not yet factored in by Treasury. So the allocations as they stand are still based on old population data. However, we can indicate that in terms of the specific allocations to FET colleges currently, some of the enrollment and some of those population data are taken into account in the distribution of the total allocation. I think what is also important here is that, and the FET colleagues can also elaborate on that, that we do take into account data in terms of enrollment and other data on population when the physical allocations are made. And at this point in time, there's also an exercise and tenders have already been issued to actually build 12 new campus sites of FET colleges in specifically Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape, in more far rural areas where needs have already been identified for additional campuses. So that is one aspect that we are attending to in order to get the colleges closer to where there's actual needs. In addition to that, there are two specific FET college campuses where we also see where there's huge expansions, where there will be major refurbishments of some of those campus sites to assist specifically with those areas. In terms of the overspending in KwaZulu-Natal, it's dealt with within the current allocation. There are no additional funding provided for that. The normal environment processes apply and it's funded within the existing allocations. If we look at the spending on equipment, the people that monitor will elaborate further on that if required. But yes, we know what colleges spend their money on. There are monthly reports submitted by every FET colleges on actual expenditure based on the funding norms, very detailed expenditure information that they must provide. In addition to that, the department did identify that in some areas that there is not necessary, as the Honourable Member indicated, the necessary quality of spending. We have now started the process where we invite and assist EFT colleges to actually buy into some of National Treasury's government contracts, which they agree to support in that specific process. The first area that we started with, where we saw a huge lack of quality, if one can use that word, is specifically on lease agreements with machines like photocopiers, faxes, and those type of things. So that is the first area where we already started, and there are already a few colleges that started to share into the government contracts specifically for those purposes. In terms of the function shift, I think, Chair, just to indicate that it's a rather technical matter in terms of the function shift itself. If we look at the PFMA and the Treasury regulations and the provisions by the public service, a function is not shifted until the last step was taken. So in terms of taking control over EFT colleges, yes, in terms of current legislation, there's already been partly control over EFT colleges. For example, the department and the minister has now the responsibility, the legal responsibility, to appoint, for example, college principals and college managers, which were previously provincial responsibilities. The department took over the direct control in terms of, as we indicated, as from 1 April 2013, to pay the subsidies to the FET colleges and to be responsible for the monitoring of that directly. We, for example, intervened where we identified that there's poor financial management in many colleges. Every college that does not have an official CFO, we have an agreement currently with SAICA, and we appointed temporary CFOs with CAs to assist all those colleges. So we can report at this point in time that all 50 FET colleges have contract appointments in terms of CFOs with CA qualifications to assist with financial management in the FET colleges. To date, if I'm correct, I think there are, based on that intervention, three FET colleges where we currently have forensic audits running to address some of the problems and some of the fraud that, or the suspicion of fraud that's been identified through that process. So yes, we do have control over the FET colleges, but the function shift itself is not fully completed. We sit with, for example, the transfer of staff that must still take place. There are specific legislative requirements in that sense. Staff must agree to be transferred and all those things. And those are lengthy processes that's still happening. In terms of the funding part, and I think that's also an important one, the function, because it's not fully shifted, are still the responsibility partly of the provincial education department. So in terms of the funding, in terms of the rules of treasury, the funding for the conditional grant is still taking place in terms of those functions that did not fully shift to us as national department. That is why we have the split that took effect on 1 April 2013. That part of the grant remains with provinces because some of the functions are still being performed at college level, at provincial level, but, for example, the funding, the direct transfer of subsidies to the FET colleges, that funding is now with the department and we have full control over that. So until the full function shift and the last step has been taken, only then will the full funding be transferred to the department and will the conditional grant disappear from our allocations. That is a process that these detailed deliberations and discussions with National Treasury and the provinces at this point in time, so that the shifting of the function and the shifting of the funds with the function can happen simultaneously, and that everything is in place, so that we don't disturb the system as it is currently. Chair, then I would just like to touch on one of two or the other areas. I don't think that I can give you too much detail on those, and I would like the FET College staff to deal with those specifically. We could, because there are also information on that available, although it's not in the detailed report, but even part of the monthly and quarterly monitoring with the FET colleges by the department, there are information that colleges submit to the department on their actual performance. So if we need to provide some of that information in addition to the committee, we are welcome to do that. We can do that for you. I'm going to ask Dr. Masoba, I don't know whether you would like to start specific areas on certification, the roles of CSOs perhaps, and then the issues of the capacity on the side of the department, IT connectivity, and the increased enrollment issue and how that is managed within the current funding. Maybe if you can deal with some of those areas for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, CFO. I would like to just touch on the first issue, which relates to the issuing of results. The issuing of student results, it's not the norm that the results are issued in April. Just worth noting that for FET colleges, we run 5 examinations in a year. We have 2 semesters, so that will be June and November. And we have 1 annualized exam for NCV, which will be only in October, November. We have 3 trimester exams for all NCLEX Report 191 engineering. And so that basically throughout the year, there is 1 examination session or the other. In this instance, the instance which is referred to here, I think, might be referring to the delays which happened at the end of the supplementary examinations, which the results for 2012 were issued at the end of the year. And subsequent to that, then in February, March, we then again ran a supplementary exam, and then the results of which means that all the results for the previous year are then concluded in April. So it's not normative that the results are issued in April. The other issue, which at the moment we do not have the capacity to do, is a tracer study of our graduates. Where are they employed, and what is the take-up rate in terms of employment? And what the department has done, I think, since last year, is to have a situation where you take all the number of graduates from the N6 program and the NCV level 4, and then depending on the sectors, then give the list of the names to the relevant sector training authorities, so that they can be exposed to the workplace. One, for N6, you need either 18 months or 24 months so that you can graduate and get a diploma.
NCV level 4, you would need at least more than 12 months just to get to work experience to enhance your employment, your employability. So that department is working with the CETAS. We are looking forward to having a situation then where the more they are exposed to workplaces, the greater are the chances of them being employed, because the weakest link at the moment is either the qualification is not complete because you have not got enough work experience, or you have no experience at all and therefore you are not employable. With regard to the targets versus achievements, I think this is also the data which we can make available, but the salient targets mentioned in the conditional grant framework is the enrollment on the report 191 and the enrollment on the NCV. On a headcount basis, my finance colleague would be able to compute that into full-time equivalent. On the headcount basis, the conditional grant exclusively covered 500,199 on headcount. However, that if you convert that into full-time equivalent, it may be somewhere around about 360, 370, if it is converted into full-time equivalent. Now, when you invest, you would also want to have a related quality output. In other words, we invested as a state, what are we getting out of it? When the department took over this function, I think which was in 2009, on the annualized program, we were standing at about 11% certification rate. In other words, the students who could be certificated at the end of the course. And by end of 2012, on the annualized program, and the department was standing at around 40% certification rate. In other words, notwithstanding the fact that the investment, the output is not yet commensurate with investment, but we have reason to believe that we are gradually getting there. And part of the reason why we think we are gradually getting there is the fact that there's not going to be a layer in between us and colleges. We can just go in there and deal with the problem as it arises, and we don't have to go via the problems, because that has been our weakest link in the past. The learning theory without practical exposure. There are, as we indicated in the conditional grant framework output, there are two types of programs in the FET colleges, the Report 191 program and the NCV program. At the Report 191 program, when they were designed in the early 1980s, they were designed to complement the apprenticeship program. In other words, they were never meant to go all by themselves. It was supposed to be a program which you take because you are employed and therefore you have to do the theoretical part. But as numbers increased, the workplaces were shrinking, and then as a result, then the tendency was to pump the theory. At one point, we wanted to withdraw the program, redesign, and offer a completely different program. But the industry said, no, we would like to have this program. And as a result, in FET colleges, the Report 191 program, there is no requirement to do a practical. And this is why we're engaged with the QCTO to structure a program which will give us the theory, the practical, and exposure to the workplace in order to need the qualification, because it is true that if you are doing, if you are training as a motor mechanic, but you get out, you can't recognize the car, it is not serving anyone's purpose. And that was practically the reason why the attempt was to phase out the program, because intrinsically it was not responding to the needs which the young people were going to be exposed to. But this is what we are sorting out now in terms of the current recalculation of the program. With regard to the NCV, it's a requirement. If you are doing engineering and related design, which would be mechanical engineering in the ordinary language, 50% of your performance is based on theory and 50% is based on your actual doing the work. In other words, when you submit the marks for you to be certificated, the composition of your mark has got to be 50-50, theory and the actual practice. However, when the minister said the colleges must expand, we have noticed a pattern where the colleges were advised to expand based on their capacity to do so, because also irresponsible expansion is not helping anyone. However, in instances where colleges are expanding at the expense of quality, and that's where we have intervened to say, reroute the students, because you have to have the teaching capacity, you also have to have the infrastructure capacity, and you have to have the workshop capacity instead of just expanding. However, there may be instances which we have not really been able to pick up, where grass is growing around cars and then the management is also not aware. And those are the issues we might need to follow up. I think I have spoken to the issue of the exceeding targets. The drive, for instance, in 2009, we had targeted 550,000. 550,000 headcount. I mean in 2012. However, we found ourselves having a headcount enrollment of 657, 690 students. And as I've indicated, 500,199 of those were supported by the grant we're coming to present. And the other difference are occupational programs which are either NSF projects or driven by specific sector education and training authority or the industry using colleges as sites of delivery or for people to go train and then go back to work. The challenge we have with regard to, let me put it this way, not all colleges are on ICT connectivity. Not all of them yet. Basically, the challenge has been the funding available to colleges does not enable them to expand ICT infrastructure to the same extent and the same pace as they would have loved to do so. And we tried during the 2009 conditional grant, we again went halfway. And to date, colleges have not been able to expand the ICT connectivity to the extent that we would like them to expand it. Part of the inability of colleges to manage student debt has been, let me put it the other way around, the increase in enrollment, I agree, it puts financial pressures on community colleges. And at the same time, the students who go to colleges in many instances are not able to pay fees. And in some instances, it's not just the inability to pay fees, it is in some instances the inability of colleges to track and deal with the debt. And now part of the capacity building which we have put in FT colleges through the CICA CFO and the HR generalist is to build that capacity so that first the bursaries go to deserving students. That's one. And secondly, those students who are not then eligible to pay, who are not eligible for bursaries, then should pay. That is the principle. But if the college is unable to track and check which students should be paying, and that is why later on the college resorts to canceling the debt at its own detriment, of course. But we are hoping that over time, during the course of our building capacity in these institutions, we are going to be able to deal with the question of student debt and at the same time build the financial management capacity of the institutions to manage funds. CFO, Chair, I think I'll take that bite for now probably until there are other questions.
Chair, I perhaps just want to check my other colleagues whether they would like to add on the financial monitoring and on the function shift, perhaps if there is additional information that they would like to give.
Thank you, Mr. Liu. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Arf. Just to add on that, specifically in terms of the financial monitoring that is performed on a monthly basis, we have identified that the write-offs are quite high, in the up to 30% in terms of student debt. As indicated by Dr. Mashlova as well, it's one of our objectives is to streamline the bursary recognition criteria to make sure that from inception that money is allocated to correct students. We've also advised through our site initiatives not to write off the debt while the student is actually in the system, so only to reconsider that process after actual exit. So we are streamlining that process to make sure that we can recover some of that debt that we're sitting with in the college. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members. That's the story. Honourable Marcile and honourable Liz. And last will be honourable Blum.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm actually interested in the outcome. You know, it's as some other year, then it was 11%, and now we're talking 40%. Now I'm interested to check, Chair, whether the department has actually made an assessment on the backlog of certification. Is it because the students are not performing or they have performed the theoretical part and there is a backlog on the experiential part? And what are the numbers? You know, it's how many of those that have actually passed the theoretical vision and they are actually waiting for this golden experience for them to get the certificate as compared to those that have actually just part of the failure rate. I think it is important that one must just understand on that particular area. And Chair, I understand what has been said in terms of the curricula. But surely, even if we are doing theory only at the college, but surely the lecturer should be able to show when he's talking about, for a motor mechanic, about an engine, there must be a scrap engine somewhere in the corner in the workshop. Then the rest is about fixing them on practical or at this level in the industry. But at the school or the college, one expects that when you talk about an engine, a piston, then they should be able to show them a piston that's like books and they are being taught, but they don't see these things. They actually run around in the country wanting to see a gearbox. And at the college, there's nothing. So I'm not saying that I've verified, but that's what I've heard on a public radio, being a parent raising this matter. So I don't know how it can be intervened, but it's just a question of verification. Of course, is that some of these things is at the department. You will visit an FET college, the main campus. You find that there are satellites, but at the satellite there's nothing. And then, but you visit the main, and you see that no, everything is fine. But at the satellite, you may find that infrastructure and equipment and organization may not be at the same level as the main campus. So, which means it calls upon for more vigilance to ensure that these things are smooth.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick one. Are you able to tell us which of the three colleges being investigated forensically?
Thank you very much. No, it's a follow-up on this issue of the certificates or the results. I didn't get the response very clear because, you see, if these people are getting the November results in April, now they want to do work and they are looking for jobs. Now, why so late? Chair, I'm saying I've not get the straight answer to that thing because it's a concern. In my constituency, people have also raised this thing. In January, factories and whatever are hiring people. Now, these people are sitting without a certificate. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me. I just want to make a comment on the FET colleges and the School of Skills, which I understand is in the basic education as part of schools. There's a number of schools that are called Schools of Skills. I just want to know if it's the same thing. It obviously can't be, that's to my understanding, but there are a School of Skills in my constituency. They do home-based care and welding and catering, or hospitality, and a number of things. So now I just want to know, where do we draw the line between FET College and the School of Skills? Because I believe the School of Skills is also unfunded mandate in terms of the province that I'm in. There is still an issue about that. So I just want to clarify what is the difference between the two things. Thanks.
Chair, let me just respond on the one aspect, the forensic audits. There are currently three that are running. The first one is Maluti FET College, Coastal FET College, and Southwest Gauteng. In all three of those, there were severe circumstances that led to that. There's a fourth one that's in the pipeline. We are still dealing with quotations for that one specifically, which is within the Dr. Mathilde, would you deal with the issue around certification, the curriculum review? And I don't know whether you know about Schools of Skills.
Thanks, CFO. I'm not quite sure, particularly the question relating to the School of Skills, whether it's the same thing as the DBE Technical High School. Okay, my colleague seems to have a pretty good idea on the probably we would respond to that one. November results again issued in April. The November results are issued to students in the middle of December. Majority of students, they are issued to them. However, for some of the students, they have to write the supplementary exams February and March. Let me say, you were doing electrical infrastructure construction, and you wrote exams in that course in October, November. And then you pass, out of 7 subjects, you pass 5. And then when you, and then you, it does mean therefore that you will have to sit for a supplementary exam for the other 2. You will have the results for the 5, but you still have to sit for a supplementary exam in February, March for the other 2. And then for the other 2 subjects, then your results are likely to be issued at the end of March, beginning of April. Exclusively supplementary exams. Now, let me also put another perspective to the resulting issue. In some instances, I think it has happened once or twice, where when a student sits for an examination, but the college has not submitted the results for the continuous assessment and the practical exam, which is done at the college, and that student actually is not going to get the results because the mark combination is not complete. That has been part of the causes of the delays, but that has nothing to do with the issue you were raising. The issue you were raising is November and in April, and I'm saying no. November exams resulted in December. If you have to sit for a supplementary exam, and then your results will be issued at the end of March, beginning of April. The CFO has dealt with the forensic one. I think it is in our best interest to follow the advice. In other words, to verify the equitable distribution of equipment for practical work in FUT colleges between the main campuses and the satellite, because that might be where our weakest link is. Because I was just about to say, regardless, it is a requirement of the curriculum that at least there should be a functional engine or a functional car at the college if you are doing motor mechanics, particularly for the NCB program. However, that might be the case in campuses that are in the full glare of the public, but it is possible that that is not the case in what is called satellites. And it does require following up on our part, as we also track the conditional grant for this year. With regard to the certificates, and I think in the slide there is an indication of how many, let me put it the other way around, for NATED programs, in other words, N1 and 2 and 3 and 4, 5 and 6 certificates where there is absolutely no practical requirement. There has been no backlog there. The backlog was cleared, I think, by late last year already. That was cleared. The major backlog, which I think is reflected on the slide, has been to do with the NCB program, where at one point there was a tussle between the department and Umalusi as to who actually was going to issue the certificate. Once that hurdle was resolved, then we had to submit data sets to Umalusi so that Umalusi could already issued the certificate. Now, almost close to around about 99% of the certificates have been issued. We are now dealing with the exceptions or rejections where the data, the initial data set, does not seem to correspond with the second batch of data set. Once we have synchronized that, we will issue the rest, and from here onwards we will have no backlog. So the issue of certificating the theoretical, of issuing the theoretical certificate, that is cleared, and the issue of dealing with the NCV certificate, that is also about to be wiped off, and we are likely to have no backlog. And however, with the diploma, N6 diploma, those are issued on request by a student. In other words, once the student has a certified period of 18 months and then writes to the department and say, here's the evidence, I have completed my 18 months, I need a diploma in public management, and then the department issues a diploma in public management because that is what is required. Similarly, with the diplomas in engineering, the student has got to ask for the certificate and attach proof of workplace work experience of 24 months, and then the department issues the certificate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. With regard to the question relating to schools and skills, our understanding is that that is an initiative which falls under the Department of Basic Education, and it is aimed at providing an alternative to the conventional schooling route, which is primarily academic. However, it has not been taken up widely, or the schools of skills have not featured widely. I think it's unique now to the Western Cape, where it is pursued as an option by the Western Cape Education Department. The relationship between schools of skills and FET colleges, they are not related. However, it's not impossible for students to move from a school of skills to an FET college should they wish to.
Mr. Glenn, do you have any concerns with the class itself or any issues you might want to raise for the succession of the meeting?
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a few comments that we picked up from the National Treasury perspective. The first one is just on the spending. I don't know if you can bring up the spending slide. The numbers that we see on the spending slide presented by the department are actually preliminary numbers. The numbers that we have at Treasury are slightly different. And the numbers that we have are actually the numbers that provincial departments handed over to the auditor to be audited. So they'll have some sort of adjustments or journal entries being passed in there. For example, KZN, actually the spending, they actually underspent by 13.5 million rand. They sort of overspending on that one day. And Northwest, the expenditure is close to 100% of the day. Now, the one on KZN is actually expenditure that was in, or the service was delivered in the 2012-13 financial year, but the payment wasn't done. So we were advised by the province that the payment was done in the current financial year. So they will be applying for the rollover of that fund there. So just one point to note there. In terms of the evaluation itself, a few years back, provincial departments and national departments were experiencing difficulty in combining the actual evaluation because they didn't know what to put in there. So for the past few years, National Treasury has been issuing out a circular in terms of how the evaluation should be compiled. It's not prescriptive, but it does give the departments sort of guidance in terms of what we expect as a minimum should be in the evaluation itself. Now, we found that generally the department complied with the circular, with the minimum requirements in terms of what should be contained in the evaluation. So, if you look at, for example, example, the evaluation circular talked about the way the evaluation should be conducted in terms of who should conduct the evaluation, what team should be set up, and the composition of that team. In that aspect, the department complied and it gave us information in terms of how the team was comprised of. In terms of the way that, in terms of what data should be collected and how it should be collected, the department also gave us a good idea in terms of all they collected. They did a desktop analysis and gave you documents. They had questionnaires with which the colleges basically answered. They also had interviews and they had site visits. So these are the ways in which the data was collected, which we found was quite good. In terms of the evaluation report itself, we found that there could be some areas of improvement. For example, we found that the reporting of the actual outputs, as some of the honorable members have already highlighted, were not very clearly set up in terms of what the actual target was, what the actual delivery was, and the reasons for the non-delivery. You see, there's a lot of detail in terms of the sites visited. In fact, most of the report is taken up by the 9 sites visited. What we would prefer to have seen is, for example, what was the provincial perspective on that? You see, if you visit one campus or one college per province, it's difficult to extrapolate it to the provincial level and see what's exactly happening on the provincial level. We see information, for example, the department spoke about the enrollment numbers. Now, these are very high-level numbers. We don't know exactly what's happening in each province. And probably the next evaluation is to give us more information in terms of what's happening in the province. A simple illustration, as the member highlighted earlier, what was the, in terms of the framework, what was the output, what was your target, what was achieved, if it was not achieved, why was it not achieved? We're talking about over and underachievement, because overachievement cannot always be good. It could be that the target was not set properly. So we just need more information on that. But other than that, we found that the evaluation on the whole was quite good. It's just that the level of detail was focused on the site visited and should be more on the province itself, and that should be aggregated to a national level so we can see from a national perspective what the output and the delivery was, and then we can see for province. We feel there was too much of detail in terms of the 9 sites visited. Thank you, Jensen.
Thank you very much. I see Dr. Marshall want to comment.
Why am I chair? In fact, Chair, I think there is some detail that I would like to take up with Mr. We probably might need to take it up with him later on,
okay.
Which will be in our best interest.
Okay.
Yep.
May I also request that in regard to figures, because I've seen the figures that the Treasury have and what you have, not to be the same, so I would appreciate if you meet and do the cleanup and finish us with the correct figures for the purpose of our report. I'm closing on this report and I see him.
Yeah, Chair, I think what I just wanted to raise is a little bit problematic for Treasury to have figures that are higher than the department, because one would be expecting the department to be reporting to Treasury. Now, when you look at Northwest and Western Cape, then it looks like Treasury is having figures that are above the department. And that is, if that is correct, what I'm seeing, then it becomes problematic. But you see, if they've got lower figures than the department, we can be saying the department is reporting more or less online, that they are having older figures. But when the department now is ahead of the department, I don't know, then I really do have a problem with that.
Okay. See, the problem is the source. We get it from the same source, but the figures are not the same. Honorable Falco.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My question relates to the shift, provincial shift to DHET. In many instances, whenever there is a shift, a function shifting from another department to another, it creates tension, anxieties, and animosities. I would like to know if are there instances of those anxieties, or it's normal, or the department is managing it. Thank you.
2 minutes.
Okay, 1 minute on just the difference in the figures. All the figures come from the provincial education department. However, I think Treasury highlighted that their information already provides the final audited information. There are obviously quite a number of adjustments and changes that's generalized within provinces, of which we have not the final result yet. And we will make sure that our final numbers correlate with what Treasury have. In fact, we received an email from National Treasury as late as Monday, where they provided the final in-year monitoring results for 2012-13. So we will do our consolidation there, and if there are differences, we will clarify that. On the issue around the function shift, certainly there are anxieties everywhere, but the task teams that have been put in place for this function shift, they are managing that, and as we indicated earlier, that there is a detailed process going on. That's one of the reasons why it cannot be done just by pushing a button. There are a lot of negotiations taking place with personnel. Personnel must take out choices in terms of whether they want to stay where they are they willing to move, do they want a new employer, and all those kinds of things, and that is taking place at the moment.
Thank you very much, all our members. That was the story with regard to the FET. I think we'll continue to engage with the department going further with regard to the quarters of the year now, because this was done reflecting the reflection of the entire period of the previous year. But this time around, we'll be engaging with yourself in terms of the performance on quarterly basis. So, when that happens, we would expect your report to reflect more on the targets and the achievements thereof, as some of the honorable members have alluded to. And, I wish to thank you for your report, and just make sure that you keep up with the speed of this national treasure. Because it would seem they are at 120, you are still at 80. With regard to your hands. Or we can just shout at them to slow down a bit so that we can have the next item on our members is the consideration of the minutes. It's only to discuss of the minutes of the 9th of April. That's when we were considering the revision of the revenue bill mandate. May I get the corrections or omissions of the minutes? I'm on both page 2 and 3. If none, may I have the moment? Honorable De Beer moves, seconded by Honorable Machine. The minutes of the 31st of July, FFC submissions, on page 2 and 3. Yes,
sir. I really don't know the correct thing, Chair, but I'm sure maybe Honorable De Beer may assist. There is the Honorable J.P. Heatherblom. I'm not sure whether that is the correct spelling. I thought that it spelled Heatherblom, something like that. You could just verify this. Heatherblom.
blog. Okay, thank you for the correction. You know the correct thing, but see, you don't know.
No, I have heard the pronunciation of the same.
Okay.
But I
okay. Thank you for the correction, Honorable Mashile. If no further corrections, may I get May I get the mover? Honorable Lee, seconded by Honorable Mashile. Honourable members, that brings us to the conclusion of today's business. There is a request from the Chair of Finance that with regard to this afternoon's meeting, that the meeting be moved forward and convened now at 12, so that you don't have to come back after 2. So, members agreeing, this meeting is adjourned and the Finance Committee meeting will convene at 12. There's tea outside on the members. Thank you very much. Thank you.